Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. This is the trivia portion of the program, and today we're going to be talking about Watchmen. This quiz is based off of issue one of the graphic novel by Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons. So let's get started. Question one. Oh, again, the answers would be at the end of the program. I guess I should have mentioned that. Question one. The first chapter of Watchmen begins with an investigation into the death of which masked vigilante? Question 2. The Keene Act of 77 outlawed masked vigilantes, but the U.S. government continued to sponsor and sanction the activities of which two extra-normal operatives? Question 3. Which masked adventurer is the alter ego of Daniel Dryburgh? Question 4. Which of the former heroes in the Watchmen story arc acquired a reputation as the world's smartest man? And I would like, the actual name of the person, not their hero name, if you know that. Question 5. At one point, Rorschach provides details in his journal concerning the fate of former masked adventurers. Which of those entries is not faithfully reproduced here? I'm going to give you four options. 1. Mothman's dying in a California rest resort. Option 2. The first night owl runs an auto repair shop. Option 3. Captain Metropolis was decapitated in a car crash in 1974. Or option 4. Dollar Bill got shot. Question 6. With whom does Dr. Manhattan share quarters? And again, I'm looking for actual name. Question 7. Which masochistic character dressed up as a supervillain so that he could get beaten up by masked vigilantes? Question 8. In Hollis Mason's book, Under the Hood, what is the saddest thing he can think of? I'm going to give you four options. Option 1, Mo Vernon's collection of tasteless novelty items. Option 2, the morality of the pulps. Option 3, the kidnapping of his math teacher, Miss Albertine. Or option 4, Wagner's The Ride of the Valkyries. Think about it. Question 9. After helping out at the auto repair shop, what did Hollis Mason make of himself? Did he become option 1, bartender, option 2, criminal prosecutor, option 3, police officer, or option 4, clockmaker? And question 10. Who was the very first masked hero outside of the comics as revealed by Hollis Mason's book, Under the Hood? Who was the first masked hero outside of the comic books from Hollis Mason's book, Under the Hood? And again, these questions will be answered at the end of the program, so please stay tuned. Let's get on with the show. Sometimes a show comes around that completely separates the people from the professionals or the elite. Sometimes they try to force shows down our throat with different quotes or using things that we love to tie us into their agendas. So when the Watchmen series was first announced, continuing the 1987 series by Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons, how couldn't you get excited? Right? You know, obviously, I'm a comic book guy, which I know not all of you are. Nothing wrong with that. That's fine. But I've been talking comic books on iTunes and iHeartRadio and everywhere else for like 5 years now. Or 6 years. 6 years. No, because my... Yeah, it's over 6 years. And, you know, I mean, obviously Watchmen is... I think it's, you know, it's a staple to a lot of readers. So how would you not get excited about this, right? And I was. I was truly, truly excited. And no, the series is still going on. I'm not going to watch it any longer. Because it's a complete waste of time. So the co-writer of Cowboys and Alien decided he wanted to take on Watchmen. Thank you, Mr. Lindelof. Is it Lindelof? Who cares? So people are calling it a remix of the original comic book. Because apparently white supremacy was, you know, a huge concern here for everybody. That's what, you know, when superheroes start turning on you, that's when you become really racist. So that's what it is. Watchmen season one, and it's so funny. Every time a new episode comes out, the certified fresh tomato meter critic ratings percentage goes higher and higher, and the audience score goes lower and lower. Now, if you know how percentages work, things get diluted the more reviews you have, right? So, like, you could say you like something on Amazon and it's got a 4.5, but, like, the past 10 reviews have been 1 star, and then when they first came out and people got free product, it was 5 stars all around. And you're like, oh, okay. So a 4.5, it's got all these fake 5 stars, and then it's got, you know, all these real 1 stars. But because there's so many reviews, it gets lost. So it maintains that high average. And the same goes for anything else. I mean, 1 5-star review can turn a 1-star review into a 3, pretty much. And that's a problem. That's a problem. The tomato meter for Watchmen Season 1, it is a certified fresh show on Rotten Tomatoes. With 88 critic reviews, 96%. The audience score, with 4,158 reviews, is a 44%, which is awful. Now, I do not agree with critics. I think we've seen that quite a bit on this show, just in general. And, you know, just to read some of the audience reviews, I'll read the low audience reviews. Garbage, pure trash, and embarrassment, don't waste your time, nowhere near the source material. And then you read the professionals, you know, at CNET, for instance. What's particularly fascinating about the beginning of Watchmen is how it doesn't lean too much into the science fiction aspect of the world. Okay. It doesn't really at all. Well, let's see. The Herald Sun. Australia. Watchmen is a thrilling and scintillating series that is sure to find armies of fans, old and new, who will undoubtedly be Besotted. Great. Besotted. I'm going to look this up. Besotted. Okay, so besotted, I am pronouncing it right, besotted, is an adjective meaning strongly infatuated. Okay, so we'll leave fans undoubtedly infatuated. Okay. Let's see, The Atlantic. Sublime and absurd, it's a symphony in which the loudest note in every bar is proudly out of key. The plane it portrays, in Alternate History America in 2019, is at once disturbingly peculiar and unmistakably our own. Really? Okay. Guess I don't get out much, maybe I just don't go to the right parts of town. But I don't know. NPR, based on the episodes I've seen, it's too early to tell whether Lindelof can make the show's enigmas pay off in a satisfying way, but so far, I'm ready to give him the chance. I'm not. Pop Matters, does it? Damon Lindelof's over-plotted, over-anxious, daring, genre-hopping offshoot is less about hunting down the bad guys than the twisted turns and stubborn legacies of racist trauma. Okay. Slate Magazine, an energetic, unruly show with a very conscious and ambitious objective. Yeah, the show does have an objective. The Observer, UK-based. It's the visionary production details that work so well. Is it? I'm going to see if there's any low reviews. Because right now I'm looking at only super duper duper positive, oh my gosh, pages upon pages of professional reviews that are positive. Can I sort these by, no, I can't. There's not a negative review in the bunch. Oh, here's one. Oh, great. Let's see. Okay. This is from Oregonian, which I'm assuming is a magazine, website? Probably not a magazine. They don't really have magazines anymore, do they? This is a rotten review. Whether you're a student of the graphic novel or coming to the series without prior knowledge of Moore and Gibbon's work, HBO's Watchmen is likely to leave you feeling less than super. While the show's not about superheroes, is it? The show is about the changes that have taken place due to the actions of Ozymandias in the graphic novel. Has caused a lot of changes in the world, which is what he wanted. I don't know if he wanted it to rain baby squids. I don't remember anything of that being an after effect of what he did. But apparently it is. And they don't have cell phones in 2019. But they do have warning systems for when it's about to rain baby squids. And there seems to be a lot of tech in the show, releasing your weapon as a police officer, getting permission to release your weapon. And like we mentioned, the squid warning system, baby squid rain, which is completely normal, apparently. They're all over the country, apparently, I guess. The murder of police officers is very common. Very common. Police officers actually hide their faces so that people don't recognize who they are. I'm assuming Rorschach's journal was published and it was taken out of context in some way, making him very racist. Review from Entertainment Weekly, which, you know, that's a... people still trust them, right? Watchmen doesn't overdose on nostalgia, like so many franchise extensions in our reboot-soaked decade. It's dangerous and invigorating. Like the proverbial space squid, it blew my mind. You know, the space squid thing, I feel like... I feel like they're really pushing that, like, because when Lindelof was tweeting or something, pictures of production and things like that, like he was like, oh, we got space squids. So I don't know if he was unaware that Ozymandias genetically engineered the creature, or it was never brought to the public's attention in the show world that it was not, in fact, an alien. It was just a creature, you know, that Adrian Veidt created and had teleported. You know? Does he not know that? Or, like, I don't know. I really don't know. Because he keeps bringing it up. Because there was this other tweet where he did a hashtag for space squid hashtag, and it's like, okay. I mean, don't... You know, she said that it doesn't pull on nostalgia. Yeah, it does. Because it's making stuff up. And, you know, I guess I can applaud the show for bringing light to the Tulsa Race Riot, 1921, but maybe HBO should just do, like, a really good docuseries on the Tulsa Race Riot, because that could be money well spent, you know, an educational type thing instead of a plot device, you know? So, I'm done watching the show. I tried, you know. I'm sure it'll have some kind of good ending. Maybe, right? I don't know. I just feel like, you know how Die Hard 2 was originally written as an, you know, original IP, and it wasn't going to be a John McClane movie, it was just going to be a movie, but then they decided to plug him in there and make it his movie, Die Hard 2. I feel like this could have been a perfectly good show, you know, where police have to hide themselves because of civil unrest, where the president has been the president for over 30 years, and that's okay. You know, kind of like Man in the High Castle, even though I think, you know, it's based off a novelette, you know, like it's, but it's on like season 3. How do you take a 120-page little story? I think it's less than that. You take this little story and you turn it into 3 seasons. I feel like this show could have benefited from, you know, not necessarily taking place in the Watchmen universe. I mean, it's a perfectly original idea, script. Acting's well done. The universe itself, I think, has a lot of high points. But tying it into Rorschach and the Watchmen universe and having, you know, fuzzy clips in the background of Dr. Manhattan, it's just like, it feels unnecessary. And I think Regina King does an amazing job. I think her character is hella interesting. But what's Watchmen-y about it? You know? So, they have this original script. Police officers, you know, they had to hide their face. You know, she wears this baklava and this nun hat, you know. And, looks super cool. You know, all these great characters, this great world. But then, you know, it rains baby squids, and then all these racists wear Rorschach masks, and I don't get it. And I don't think I ever will. I don't. I don't know. I don't know. I feel like it could have been a great show. You know, like when you... I don't know why shows, like nowadays, feel like they need to lean on something that already has some sort of history, you know? Westworld is an amazing show. Okay, season one... Stop me there. Season one was an amazing series. Season two, we can talk about that later if you really want. I don't know if we already did. I don't know. Go back and see. Go back and watch. Go back and listen, I mean. But, you know, they always feel like they have to lean on something else. And it kind of hurts what we knew, you know what I mean? Like, I love The Watchmen. But what is this doing to it? This is what happened? This is the future of what happened? Rorschach's death led to this? You know? And I don't know, you know, I'm not obviously going to accept it as canon. But do they want us to? this is the end of it? So, it can be disappointing when they tie it into things, and I think they just need to try to stick with original things. HBO has perfectly good original series. You know, Deadwood was original. Amazing. Rome, even though it's based off historical events, both of them, actually. Amazing. Westworld is based off the Crichton film, but it was, you know, it's still good. Totally different, really. They should have just made it an original thing, because you're bringing people in that aren't expecting what you're serving. It's like going into an Italian restaurant and all they have is cheeseburgers. Makes no sense. That's actually, that's a big thing with me, actually. Just completely off topic. When I go to a restaurant that is specific to a certain type of cuisine, and then we're with our kids, and it's like, you know, we're at this Japanese steakhouse, do I want my kids to get the chicken nuggets? Why is that an option? I'm here to get their palate a little bit more diverse here. I'm not coming here for chicken nuggets. What are you doing? So, when I came into Watchmen, I was coming in expecting a hibachi, and all they gave me were chicken nuggets. So, that's my problem with the show. If you'd like, please give it a chance. Stream it on HBO Go or HBO Now. And, you know, make your own opinions. But that's your call to make. Because if you like chicken nuggets, go for it. All right, it's answer time for those of you that have stuck around during that episode. All right, so question one. The first chapter of Watchmen begins with an investigation into the death of which mass vigilante? The answer is the comedian. The Keene Act of 77 outlawed mass vigilantes. Government sanctioned the activities of which two extra-normal operatives? Again, this is one of the ones I would hope that you would know. Dr. Manhattan and the comedian. Question three. Which masked adventurer is the alter ego of Daniel Driver? And that would be Night Owl 2. Night Owl 2. Question four. Which of the former heroes in the Watchmen story arc is the world's smartest man? You may know him as Ozymandias. Oh, my voice is awful today. But what we were looking for is Adrian Veidt. So, whatever. You know, I prefer Adrian Veidt, but we'll give you some half credit for Ozymandias. Question five. At one point, Rorschach provides details in his journal concerning the fate of former masked adventurers. I gave you four options. And the correct answer was Mothman's dying in California, Californian rest resort. Mothman, according to Rorschach's journal entry, he's actually in an asylum up in Maine. So it was actually Sally Jupiter who's dying in the resort. Question six, with whom does Dr. Manhattan share quarters? And the answer we're looking for is Laurie. Sally, her mom's, we're not gonna get into it. Laurie. Question seven, which masochistic character dressed up as a supervillain so that he could get beaten up by masked vigilantes? And the answer is Captain Carnage. Most of the masked vigilantes didn't take Captain Carnage very seriously. They refused to indulge in his little fantasies. His fate was decided when he tried his act on Rorschach, who promptly dropped him down an elevator shaft. So, you get what you get, and you don't throw a fit. Question eight. In Hollis Mason's book, Under the Hood, what is the saddest thing he can think of? And that is The Ride of the Valkyries by Wagner. I think I said Wagner in the beginning. Wagner. Question nine. After helping out, I'm reading off a thing I made. And when you see Wagner, you see Wagner, which is Wagner. I'm American, so I don't know how to pronounce anything. Question nine. After helping out at the auto repair shop, what did Hollis Mason make of himself? What did he become? And the answer is police officer. Mason was 23 when he joined the New York City Police Force. His time with the force exposed him to the ragtag and bobtail and undoubtedly contributed to his desire to become something more. And the final question. Who was the first masked hero outside of the comic books as revealed by Hollis Mason's book, Under the Hood? And the answer is Hooded Justice. Hood of Justice provided the impetus which compelled Mason to become the first Night Owl. After reading about his exploits, Mason had determined to become the second masked hero outside of the comic books. And that concludes our Watchmen broadcast. As I said earlier, because I was late getting this episode out, and with the holidays quickly approaching, I will put out an episode today, and then I'll also put an episode out on Friday. So I hope that makes up for it. I hope you forgive me. But if not, you know, talk to you on Friday, and after that, we'll see you every Friday thereafter. So good streaming, good gaming, and good night.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.